Who's at the hill? Ladies and gentlemen, the college has great pleasure to have a special lecture, which I think is very appropriate for genetic medicine. The lecture is to be delivered by very notable monk of Canterbury, the Venerable Pra Tham Pido. Prayut Pinuto is one of the most respected monks in Thailand nowadays. He passed Pali 9, the highest level of Pali study, in 1961, since he was an August. Thus, he received higher ordination under the sponsorship of King Bhumibol Adulthaeya at the temple of the Emerald Buddha, with the Supreme Patriarch as preceptor. He obtained a bachelor's degree in Buddhist studies with first class honors from Mahajualongkorn Rajavidyalaya University in 1963. He also served as full-time instructor at this university for 2 years. From 1964 to 1974, he received the position of assistant to the Secretary General and later became Deputy Secretary General of Mahajualongkorn Rajavidyalaya University. In 1982, he was conferred honorary doctorate in Buddhist studies by this university. He was invited to teach Buddhism in several universities in the United States, including Harvard University, and has written more than 20 books on Buddhism. Pra Tham Pido's contribution to world community was internationally recognized when he was awarded the 1994 UNESCO Peace Prize for Peace Education for his ongoing work to construct the defense of peace in the mind of the people. It is a good opportunity this afternoon for us all today to have Venerable Pra Tham Pido, Prayut Pinuto, to deliver his talk entitled The Philosophy of Living, Dying and Death. May I call upon Venerable Pra Tham Pido, please.
Distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, today, according to the schedule, I have been expected to speak on death and dying. But as it has been made open for me, I would like to speak on aging and dying, or old age and death, rather than on death and dying. Old age and death are natural phenomena. It is in accordance with the law of nature that all conditioned things are impermanent and liable to change, being subject to causes and conditions. Everything that has a beginning must at last come to an end. The lives of all beings after being born must decay and die. Aging is just the decline of life and the decay of the faculties. And death is the passing away, the termination of the tie of life, the breakup of the aggregates, and the casting off of the body. Although by nature, aging and death are merely facts of life, psychologically, they often mean, to the worldlings, a loss of hope, the frustration of all aspirations, the jump into a great darkness, and thus the feeling of fear and anguish. In spite of degeneration and loss inherent in aging and dying, old age can be turned into an opportunity for development, and death into that for a sublime attainment. At least one should live a good and worthwhile life of the own, and can die unconfused or even die an enlightened death. Human lifespan is traditionally divided into three stages. The first, the middle, and the last stages. Of course, with attention to what is good and right, one should live a good life through all the three stages of life. However, if through negligence, one fails to fulfill the good life in the first and the middle stages of life, the room is still left for him or her to fulfill it in the last one, that is, in his or her old age. Not only when still a young black-haired man in the prime of youth, but also when he became old age, advanced in life, and come to the last stage, being 80, the Buddha was still perfect in his lucid wisdom. This means a happy and fruitful life in old age is a possibility. Moreover, as mentioned earlier, one can even make progress in the good life and attain to perfection in this last stage of life. So many people spend the whole time of their early and middle ages in search of fame and fortune, in seeking after wealth and power, and in the pursuit of material pleasures. They might say that their lives have been worthwhile. Really, they are not. It is not enough. They have not got the best of their life. They have not realized the full potentials of the humans. To live longer into old age gives them the advantages over other people, as they are in a position to make advances towards fulfilling this potential. What are these potentials? There are a lot of them. Examples are the various kinds of inner and independent happiness through inner development. In short, there are a lot of the good that people in search of wealth, power, and pleasures will never experience and enjoy, except that they survive to develop them in their old age. As long life up to an old age is an advantage, if one learns how to utilize it, we should look after ourselves well so that we will have long life. Of course, good care of life is needed. We should look after ourselves well, physically and behaviorally, emotionally and volitionally, and intellectually and intuitionally. The interdependence and interrelationship among these aspects of life should be rightly steered or directed so that they become intercontributory. First, physical care should not be separated from behavioral development in relationship with social and natural environment. In addition to sufficient nutrient food and physical exercises, right attitudes and behavior, such as beneficent habits, should be developed in connection with eating, general material consumption, and recreation. As all know well, the present-day society is under the competition system and consumerism. When people fall into the state of tight scarcity because of competitive individualism and personal pursuit of material pleasures. In the context of such a society, people find it difficult to take care of other people, and therefore people in old age should be more self-reliant. In these situations, they should devote themselves more to the intimate relationship with the natural environment. They should enjoy physical movement and activities in the midst of nature. As far as personal relationships are concerned, love of sons and daughters leads to concerns about their will and woe, which are satisfied by parental care. However, when children have grown up and can take care of themselves, they take responsibility over themselves. At this point, the concerns of the own parents over their grown-up sons and daughters, or of the grandparents over their grandchildren, often lead to vexation on the part of the latter and an upset on the part of the former. It is not good to the mental health of both sides. There is a principle in the Buddha's teaching that when children grow up and are able to take responsibility of their own lives, parents are expected to develop equanimity. This means love must be balanced by equanimity. In other words, love that grows into attachment, whether to persons or things, must be replaced by equanimity. Love must be maintained at the level of loving kindness or friendly love. In Thailand, aged people find the balance of loving kindness with equanimity in joining their peers in the Buddhist observances at village monasteries and even stay overnight there every 8 or 7 days. To go further in emotional care and volitional encouragement, an elderly should develop in him or herself the will to do something. This means he or she should have something in mind that he or she values highly or has a loving interest in, which he or she wants very strongly to do. For example, the writing of some book on one's cherished experiences, the carrying out of a gardening program, or the search for knowledge of a spiritual matter. Let his or her will to do be so strong as to make him or her say to him or herself that I cannot die if I have not achieved this job. Many of us can think of elderly people, especially those after retirement, who not long after retiring from work became subject to loneliness, dejected, downhearted, and gloomy. They quickly wither away and die. Some suffer from depression and even commit suicide. But the elderly who develop the will to do will not be so. Their willpower and strong spirit will only develop. They have something to commit themselves to, and there also they will apply reasoning and intellectual investigation. They will become strong and healthy both in mind and in body. The Buddha says that one who has the four qualities of the desire to do, the strong wind power, the sense of commitment, and the spirit of investigation and or experimentation can live long throughout the whole lifespan. Now we come to the boundary between the heart and the head, where the emotion will be refined, made wholesome, and strengthened by intellectual faculty. However, in passing, I would like to mention another two points. Elderly people usually have bodies that are frail and easily afflicted with diseases. This tends to make them worried and dejected. Here, they are encouraged by the Buddha to train themselves. Although my body is ill, my mind shall not be ill. Or, even though my body becomes frail, my mind shall not be weakened. Another point is concerned with happiness. Many or most people think of happiness in terms of sensual or material pleasures. If happiness consists in satisfying the senses, life in the old age will be that of a great torment, forever deprived of happiness, because aging means, among other things, the degeneration and decay of the sense faculties. In reality, there are roughly two kinds of happiness. One is sensual happiness, dependent on external material pleasures. As this kind of happiness is dependent on material objects outside, those who are devoted to its enjoyment become pleasure seekers or the seekers after happiness. In the pursuit of this kind of happiness, the pleasure seekers learn and spend a lot of energy to develop the ability to seek for the goods to gratify their senses. This has even been unconsciously taken by these people to be the meaning of education. But it is the gifts of human beings that they are possessed of the potential for creativity. Through this potential, human beings have created, through their creative thinking and constructive idea, the human world of inventions and technologies. Directed inside, this potential can be developed for the creation of inner happiness and the various kinds of skillful mental qualities. Unfortunately, the pleasure seekers or the happiness pursuer, being engrossed in the search for external objects to gratify their senses, fail to develop this potential for the inner creativity. This creative or formative potential left undeveloped works out for them inner lack of happiness and various negative mental states. Thus, in this way, the pleasure seekers, while seeking external happiness through the gratification of the senses with material objects, create or form inside themselves stress, anxiety, worry, depression, fear, insomnia, and all kinds of negative mental states, and even mental disorders. To be sure, these pleasure seekers in their old age will suffer double anguish. Externally, because of the degeneration of the sense faculties, they experience the frustration of the sensual happiness. Internally, they are subject to the formation and arising of unskillful feelings such as fear, anxiety, stress, and depression, and the frustration of the external happiness. And the frustration of the external happiness intensifies these negative emotions even more. This seems to be a very unhappy life in old age. Wise people not only develop the ability to seek for external objects to gratify sensual desires, they develop the potential for creativity to create in themselves various positive mental qualities and inner happiness. We are usually advised by the Buddha to develop 5 skillful qualities as the constant factors of the mind, namely joy, delight, relaxing calm, happiness, and concentration. These 5 qualities will keep off all negative emotion and unhappiness. It is the development of the ability to create happiness or to be happy. This is the development of the ability to create happiness or to be happy. As this second kind of happiness is internal, mental quality, independent of material objects outside, the person who has developed it becomes, in contrast with the happiness seeker, the possessor of happiness. In their own age, the elderly should learn to develop more and more this inner happiness so that they will enjoy lives of peace, freedom, and happiness. There is still a higher level of happiness. It is happiness beyond all formations. This is the highest kind of happiness to be realized through the liberating wisdom or insight into the true nature of things. In the way of liberating the mind through wisdom and insight, we are advised by the Buddha to face and learn the truth of things at every step. Aging and death are among the facts of life that should be constantly reviewed. In the words of the Buddha, these 5 facts of life should again and again contemplated by everyone, whether female or male, whether a layman or a monk. 1, that I am subject to old age, I am not free from it. 2, that I am subject to disease, I am not free from it. 3, that I am subject to death, I am not free from it. 4, that there will be division and separation from all that are dear to me and beloved. 5, that I am owner of my deed, whatever deed I do, whether good or bad, I shall become heir to it. Death, in particular, which is the central point or culmination of these facts, is a sufficient focus of contemplation. Buddhists are advised to practice mindfulness or contemplation on death. It is called pari maranasti. This mindfulness or contemplation is far different from imaginative or fanciful thinking, which often leads to fear, sorrow, or downheartedness. That is called an unwise attention. The right and wise contemplation on death leads to the acceptance of the fact of the impermanence of life and further to the urge to lead a life of diligence or earnestness, to get the best of life before it comes to an end. Furthermore, this contemplation on death leads to the realization of the truth of the impermanence of all things. The insight into the true nature of all things will bring about wisdom that liberates the mind. The mind of the wise who realize the truth, being free, is set to equilibrium and stands in equanimity. The person who is in this stage of being is in the position to enjoy the highest happiness. Some of the disciples of the Buddha even attained to the enlightenment and final freedom at the moment of death. For those who have not realized the final goal of perfect freedom at the moment of death, they are advised to die with clear and peaceful mind, unconfused. In short, 3 points should be observed concerning aging and death. Firstly, aging and death are plain facts of life to recognize. The contemplation on which may lead to insight into the truth of all things. Secondly, aging and death can be opportunity for the development of good life. We should make the best out of them. Thirdly, relying on aging and death, even the ageless and the deathless can be attained to. With these remarks, I bring my talk to a close. Thank you, everyone.